your mind, your suitcase, to, hallelujah, remind yourself we have something to be thankful for, something to bless him for. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, worship is for him. You know, we give worship unto the Lord and we worship him, but it's not just for him, but it's also for us also. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can say you feel better already just being in the presence and in the worship and feeling the anointing in the presence of the Lord, reminding yourself, if the songs don't do anything else, they remind you of his goodness. Hallelujah. They remind you of his faithfulness. Hallelujah. And just to be in the presence and the anointing of the Lord and the, you know, the joining together of many rivers, of many flows of, you know, the scripture says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? That there is life inside of you, inside your belly. That out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And so as we release that anointing, as we release those rivers, as we release that presence of God in the house, how many know those rivers and those tributaries and those streams all come together? And what happens when they come together? They create a river or a larger body of water. Hallelujah. There's a greater, an increase of that river in the house. Hallelujah. And so it's not long before the rivers begin to overflow their banks and the tributaries until it causes the rivers to overflow their banks. Hallelujah. I mean, it causes a flood. How many are ready for a flood of his presence? Hallelujah. You know, when you see, look at some of those pictures right now, actually, that are happening, you know, out west, even in our country, there's not much that can withstand against the floods that they're experiencing right now. Hallelujah. And I just want the presence of the Lord in my life to be a flood like that, to be a river of life like that, that it just comes and wipes away everything that is not profitable to me, but brings with it a new season and new life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. You can make them if you want to. I'm not against them. I'm just not always for them. I mean, because what it does sometimes is set you up for failure. You make it through the first week, and then you give up the diet. You give up the, you know, whatever it is you promised yourself you was going to do differently. Here's what I'll just tell you. Just do better today than you did yesterday, all right? Take it one day at a time. Hallelujah. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is a brand new day. Aren't you glad for a fresh start and a brand new day? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to live under guilt and condemnation of something that I think I can do in my own power, because I know without him I am nothing and I am powerless without his presence in my life. So I'm just going to trust him to do something even greater in me today than he did yesterday. All right? Is that all right? Hallelujah. We want to thank everybody for their generosity and their giving to Dan and I over the holidays and all the different blessings that we receive from you and this house. And we're truly honored by your goodness and to be serving this house. And we want you to know how much we honor you and are grateful to be connected with such a body of believers. Amen. Hallelujah. There is strength in the body. There's healing in the body. There's peace in the body. And when we really understand that every joint truly does supply in some way in the body, there are no uncomely parts, but we all flow together. I mean, no, the scripture even talks about the comely parts and the uncomely parts, but we can't do without the uncomely even. There's a function in that. So there are no uncomely parts in this body and in his house. And so I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. I want to start out. Go ahead and read me. Bring up Numbers 24 and 17, Robert. I'm not really sure how to start or land, so we'll just jump in and go. How's that? And he'll follow me. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Does anybody know who prophesied this? Balaam. Remember when Balaam was hired to curse the children of Israel? by Balak. And when he came to curse the children of Israel, he could not do it. And what he began to do actually was prophesy and say of what God, what thus saith the Lord. How many know you? People can't curse what God's already blessed. Hallelujah. You know, people go around being afraid of curses. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord in my life. And how many know his blessings are more powerful than anybody else's cursing on your life? And so he prophesies in the book of Numbers and says a star is going to come out. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Jump over with me now to Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 23. Now, we've been doing a series on the what we call the Christmas story, because we do it at Christmas time. It's not just a Christmas story. It's a story for all year round. But we break down the different parts, and we talk about different ones. We preached about the voice. I mean, who the voice was? John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Now we have a TV show called The Voice, but there was a voice way before we had the TV show. Hallelujah. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. How many know John was born of a supernatural birth? It didn't look like it could have happened, shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. Anybody ever had situations in your life where it looked like it shouldn't, it couldn't, it wouldn't, but it did? Hallelujah. Anybody looking at any situations today that looking like they shouldn't, they couldn't, or they won't, but they will? Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the supernatural touch of God in your life? Hallelujah. And so when Zechariah and Elizabeth thought they were too old to have a baby, the angel Gabriel shows up. Hallelujah. The angel shows up and says, Zechariah, your prayers are about to be answered. For the prayers that you prayed, God's going to bring the voice into the earth. And he's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Hallelujah. I mean, John was going to be called the voice, but Zechariah was going to lose his voice. I mean, God was in the process of silencing the last of the old order prophets that he might bring a declaration of a new prophet in that was going to be declare the way of the Lord, who was going to bring to usher in the Messiah, the Savior of the world, not by old covenant rituals or old covenant mandates, but by a new covenant. Hallelujah, by his love and of his grace. And so as Zechariah was silenced, God brought Elizabeth and Zechariah together, and lo and behold, she's going to have a baby. Hallelujah. She who was past her time and past her prime. If you've ever felt like you're past your time or past your prime, you need to read the scripture of Elizabeth and Zechariah, because it ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, sometimes I forget the supernatural power of God in my life, and then I got to get stirred up, and I got to remind myself that when God begins to speak, it doesn't matter what other voices are talking in my head. When God speaks, what he says will come to pass. And when he began to speak it, what looked like it couldn't happen began to happen. And all of a sudden, Zechariah is silenced so that a new voice might be heard. Hallelujah. And Elizabeth goes and hides herself. I love this. I never realized this till a couple years ago, but she goes and hides herself. How many know sometimes you just got to get in your prayer closet all by yourself, turn off the media, shut off the computer, quit looking things up online, get away from all the negative talk, and find yourself someplace that said God has promised, God has spoken, God will perform and fulfill what he's already promised me, and I'm going to just disconnect myself from everybody who don't see my dream, who don't believe my word, who's not living in my promise. And lo and behold, she hides herself. The scripture said for 5 months, but an angel comes and visits Mary. And she said, and Mary, if you don't believe you, that, and she says to her, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now that was a declaration that was made of kings when they said that you were highly favored, because she said, what kind of talk is this? What manner of salutation is coming by my way? And he begins to say to her, you are highly favored. Now Dr. Lynn preached to you last Sunday, sometimes favor doesn't look like favor. Hallelujah. When everything that you thought was going to pan out and it was going to work, and all of a sudden everything's changing in their world, sometimes you get a little rattled. Am I only one in the house? Hallelujah. I already got my wedding gown. I already got my wedding plans. I already got my future husband picked out. And all of a sudden you say, I'm highly favored and I'm going to have a baby, and this ain't going to go over very good with Joseph. And he begins to speak to her, but he says something to her very profound. And he said, and your cousin Elizabeth, she's about to have a baby too. Hallelujah. The promise of God has come to the house of your cousin Elizabeth. So what does Mary do? She packs up her bag, she gets her donkey, and she goes and she connects herself with somebody who's hearing the same thing that she's hearing, somebody who's experienced something supernatural, somebody that's believing beyond the realm of what they see right now, somebody who dares to step out and connect themselves with somebody. And she gets to the road and it says, and when Elizabeth hears the sound of the salutation of Mary. Now, I don't know what she said. I don't know what tone she said it in it. Maybe it sounded a whole lot like Kuronda Mokosika Telalamohundai, Rima Mama Hundai, Shika Telalamohundai. And she begins to say something, and Elizabeth says, at the sound, Mary, of your salutation, my baby leaped. I didn't know for sure until right now, this moment, there was a baby in there. I wanted to believe it, but I hadn't felt it move. Let me tell you what, when you feel that baby move, nobody's going to talk you out of being pregnant, because when the baby moves, you know there's life inside of you. And I'm telling you, we got to come to the place where we quit letting people talk us out of the seed of God that's been deposited inside of us and say, you know what, my baby is leaping, and I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's got a salutation, a greeting that says there's life inside of me and God is up to something big. Hallelujah. Do you believe it today? And so she connects herself to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, at the sound of your salutation, my baby leaped. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's why I say, I don't know what that salutation sounded like, but it must have been powerful. I mean, no, the salutation, the greetings of our mouth must be a word in season that speaks life and hope and causes people to dare to dream again and to believe God for supernatural promises in our life. Hallelujah. It may not always be favorable. It might not always be easy. How many can say there's been times in your Christian walk where you've hit a few bumps in the road? I'm glad I'm not the only one in the room this morning. It hits a few bumps in the road. How many know sometimes you got to reevaluate a little bit? You got to get some quiet time. You got to join yourself with somebody that says, it ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and Mary stayed 3 months. Until she looked in the face of Elizabeth's promise. And she held the baby. She helped usher the voice in. And once the new voice had arrived, how many know Zachariah's speech was released? And they said, we're going to call this baby Zachariah Jr.? No. Give me something to write on. Call his name John. John. Ain't nobody in your family named John. How many know that John means grace? Hallelujah. Go ahead and name him Grace. Go ahead and pronounce what God's called it. Call it what God's called it. Don't call it what everybody else wants to name. How many know somebody, sometimes people want to name your baby. People want to name your promise. People want to name your destiny, your purpose. But you call it what God calls it. You call it the provision of the Lord. You call him John. You call him the grace of God. Hallelujah is among us. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God in your life today? Hallelujah. How many know Joseph was not on board until he had a dream? I say Joseph was not on board until he had a dream. And in the dream, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that thing which is done in her is done by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many know the thing that keeps us from doing sometimes the greatest things in God is fear? So fear not, Joseph. Don't be afraid. For that which is being done in her is of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so we're going to jump over into Matthew chapter 2. Luke gives us the account of the humility, the humbleness, the humble birth of our Savior. Jesus comes to be born in a manger, in a room where there's no inn, in a town where there's no place for them. And we see the very humble abode, the very lowly estate and we've preached on the different mangers and all of the significance of that. How many know God came first declaring a message to his shepherds? And the message that the heavens said to the shepherds was, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How many know God's never changed that message? It's still the message that the shepherds need to be declaring, hallelujah, peace on earth and goodwill to men. He said, go now and find this baby. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And so when they had seen it, they made known abroad what they had seen and heard of them. I mean, no, it is our mission and our mandate to make known abroad those things which we have experienced and seen in God. Hallelujah, as we embrace him. So in Matthew chapter 2, the title of my sermon today is Wise Men. Do we have any wise men in here today? One. We have some wise women. Thank you, girls. They raised their hand. Guys won't raise your hand. I don't know. What's up with that? Hallelujah. Wise men. We're going to find out if you're wise or not, because we'll find out what wise men do, all right? Is that all right? Now, I'm talking about wise men as all of us in general, so we won't make this gender, we make this a gender thing. Let's go on. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, some people call it, so it's translated astrologers, magi, magicians from the east, came to Jerusalem asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east at its rising and have come to worship him. Remember, Balaam prophesied of a star that was to come. Micah prophesied, thou Bethlehem, though thou seem to be the least among us, out of thee shall come forth a ruler that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed and troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests and learned men, the scribes of the people, and actually asked them where the Christ was to be born. How many know they already know this has been prophesied? They already know this is to come to pass because he brings together the wise men, the scribes, and he asks them, where is this supposed to take place where Christ was to be born? They replied to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not in any way least or significant among the chief cities of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, a leader, who will govern and shepherd my people Israel. That's out of the book of Micah. How many know he's going to bring a governor and a shepherd for his people Israel? How many know David, the great shepherd, where we get the Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23, also comes from Bethlehem. And so we see who will govern and shepherd my people Israel. When Herod sent for the wise men, the astrologers secretly and accurately to the last point ascertained from them the time of the appearing of the star, that is, how long the star had made itself visible since its rising in the east. When he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search for the child carefully and diligently, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. When they had listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which had been seen in the east in its rising went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were thrilled and ecstatic, with ecstatic joy. And on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure bags, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now there's a whole lot of significance in this chapter, and there's no way to cover everything, the significance of their gifts, the type of gifts that they brought, where they came from, the magi, how they knew to where to look for him, all of that thing is very significant in this. But I want you to just pause for a moment. Number one, we see a lot of Christmas cards. We have the shepherd on one side and we have the wise men on the other side. And most likely that did not happen. That probably the wise men came as much as possibly 2 years later after the birth of the Messiah, because you see that Matthew says where the young child was, not babe, and that they came into the house where they were, where the star had set over the house and led them to the way of where the baby was. Now, we see, it says, and on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then opening, as a part of their worship, they opened their treasure bags. They presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How many know these are wise men? And what I love about this is these wise men don't just come wanting to receive gifts. Wise men come bringing gifts. Did you hear what I said? Wise men come bringing gifts as a part of their worship. I said, and when they saw them, they fell down and worshiped him, and then they opened their treasure bags. I love this. And they opened their treasures, and out of their treasures, they began to give to this new king, because it was a custom of kings. When another king came to visit a king, Lynn shared that with you last week, that when the Queen of Sheba came, she brought a gift of, how much was it? $52,800,000 that she brought to Solomon, recognizing him as king, and that was just in gold. Now, we see most of the time in the Christmas cards that they got a little pot of this, and they got a little, you know, it looks like a little chest of this, and, you know, it doesn't, never. Number one, there weren't three wise men. We don't know how many wise men. It doesn't tell us three wise men. It says men who traveled from afar. I'm telling you, there was a bigger caravan probably than what we think there was, but doesn't say that there were three wise men, we three kings of Orient are traveling, you know, all those things. I mean, a lot of times we get our revelation out of songs, and they're not always scriptural. Moving on from that. So we assume that there are three wise men because there is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's three gifts or three types of gifts that are mentioned. It doesn't even just tell us that there are three gifts, but we know that they presented to them gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many know this wasn't just pocket change when they come to bow down before this baby Jesus? That as part of their worship, they opened their treasure bags and they presented him gifts. How many know wise men come bringing gifts? And, you know, and we sometimes get a mentality, I think, in church, I'm going to church, and so the Lord can give me this, or the Lord can pour on me this, and the Lord can answer this prayer. And all those things are good, but how about if we ever come with a mentality that says, you know what, I'm going to come, and I'm just going to pour out my praise on him today. I don't necessarily have to ask him for anything. I'm going to break open my alabaster box, and I'm going to lather it on his feet, and I'm going to wipe it with the hair of my head, and I'm going to wash his feet with my tears, and I'm going to lavish him with my treasures this morning. Hallelujah. Because I honor him as king, and as part of my worship, I didn't just come to receive from him, I come to pour out on him. How many know wise men come bringing gifts? And they presented to them their treasures. They opened their treasure box. So I was sitting at the house the other day, and my kids, I guess, had just left. I was so blessed to be able to have both of my girls home for Christmas, and my grandbabies were there, and it was just wonderful having them with us and being a part of our Christmas celebration and all of those things. And then they leave, and it's very quiet, very sad in your house, and all the chaos is cleaned up, but you take the chaos over the mess. Amen. You just, you know, if there's no mess in your house, there's probably nobody there to mess it up. And so we love it. And so they leave, and as I'm pondering on this, I'm thinking, Lord, my greatest treasures, my greatest gifts were not packages under a tree. They didn't come with bows or wrapping. They are the life and the generations that you have given to us. And you know what, Lord, I'm going to present those gifts to you. I'm going to present my babies to you. I'm going to present my children to you. They are my greatest treasures. And I want you to take my greatest treasures, Lord. And I want you to use that for your glory and for your goodness. Hallelujah. I mean, the greatest treasures we aren't always the things we pull out of our wallet. I mean, no, I believe in giving. I'm a giver. And I told somebody this morning, and I told my husband this. I said, hun, we've really been blessed this year in a lot of different ways. God has just moved and blessed. And there was a point in the season where I'm like feeling guilty for being blessed. And the Lord said to me, Lisa, do not make excuses or for what you preach, because you believe that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And then if you give unto him, he will bring back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And when the word does not come back void, you can't make excuses or feel bad for it. You just got to say, God, you are just overwhelming me. And as you pour into my life, you make me a dispenser of your glory and your goodness. I love to be a seed sower. I don't say that in any way boasting or to make myself seem, but I want to tell you, one of the greatest things I can tell you this morning is it works. And if you'll give unto God, he will not see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, but he will pour into you and open the storehouses of heaven and pour you out a blessing, the scripture says, in the Old Testament that you can't contain. People want to say, well, give it in tithing. That's under the old covenant. Well, even under the old covenant, he said, I'll pour you out a blessing you can't even handle, that you can't contain. So if we want to make it an old covenant thing, we'll jump on over into the New Testament. The New Testament says they sold everything they had and put it at the apostles' feet because they so believed in what they were doing and the message that they were preaching. Hallelujah. Wise men know how to give gifts. Hallelujah. Do we have any wise men in here today? Hallelujah. They open their treasure chest. Now, your treasure may not just be finances. It may be your time, your talents, and your treasures. What is it that we can present to the Messiah and say, Lord, this is my talent. This is my treasure. This is all that I have. Take what I am. Take what I have and use it for your glory. Can I tell you that the gifts of those magi, of those wise men, probably financed his ministry all the way through, because he didn't work a job, but yet they had a money bag they carried. And Lynn told you last week, Judas could steal out of it and nobody missed it. How many know Jesus wasn't poor? Hallelujah. He didn't need riches, but he wasn't poor. My dad used to say, the Lord owns all the cattle on a thousand hill and all the taters in the hill. Hallelujah. And then he used to say he grew tomatoes the size of bushel baskets and cabbage heads. Well, that was a bigger story. But he also, my parents always taught us that you can't outgive God. And I'm thankful for that, because I think that's something you learn as you're young. And it's easier to walk in. Hallelujah. But as we get older, we see the benefits of it. And I'm so thankful for that in our life. But wise men come bringing gifts, not just receiving. Hallelujah. And they open their treasure bags. I mean, you know, sometimes we just got to unload our baggage. Just unload your bags with treasures. But how many know he'll also unload your bags for you? I won't, don't raise your hand, but any in here ever had any baggage you needed unloaded? Every now and then we got some baggage we need to unload, and the very best thing we can do is present that to him for the healing. Hallelujah. And on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasure bags, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They're all type of his deity, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they departed to their own country by a different way. How many believe that you can be divinely instructed? In matters in life, I believe in divine instruction. Jobs, direction, relationships. Children, spouses. How many know God will speak to you if you will ask him and if you'll listen? See, we do a lot of asking sometimes, but I think we don't pause long enough. Some people say, God's not talking to me. I say, well, have you slowed down long enough to hear? And have you asked for his will or yours? We say God doesn't talk to me sometimes because he's not saying what you want him to say. You think he's not talking to you. Amen? Hallelujah. But I believe in divine instruction. I believe God will instruct you in the ways of the Lord. He will instruct you in the Word. He will instruct you in the Scriptures. He will instruct you in your talents and your calling. He will instruct you how to raise your children. He'll instruct you in how to treat your husband or your wife. He will treat you and how to instruct you in how to handle your finances. Amen? Hallelujah. Back up one more. I don't think I finished that up here. Go back to 12, if you would. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they departed to their own country by a different way. Hallelujah. Wise men do not go back the same way they came. Wise men bring gifts. Wise men do not go back the same way that they came. How many know there's moving on in life? There's no going back. We don't live our life looking in a rearview mirror. We live our life looking through a windshield of what's to come. I can't change yesterday. I can't go back to there. I can learn from it. Hallelujah. And bless God, I hope we learn from it. But how many know our life is forward? Being instructed divinely, they went another way. If the way you've been going is not working for you, don't go back that way. Yeah. Take divine instruction. Let God lead you in the path that He would have you to go. Hallelujah. Wise men heed instruction, and they don't go back to the same way they came. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Now after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Tenderly." I love that. Exclamation mark and then tenderly. "Get up. Take unto you the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you otherwise. For Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him." And having risen, he took the child and his mother by night and withdrew to Egypt. And remained there until Herod's death. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he realized that he had been misled by the wise men, was furiously enraged, and he sent and put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and all that territory who were 2 years old and under, reckoning according to the day which he had investigated diligently and had learned exactly from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Rise, tenderly take unto you the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' Then he awoke and rose and tenderly took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But because he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being divinely warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene, which means the branch or the separated one." Hallelujah. I mean, no, the branch. We just read, "There shall come forth a branch." Hallelujah. And he dwelt in Nazareth because he was called a Nazarene, which translated means the branch. How many of us, Isaiah prophesied of the branch, the stem, the root that would come. Hallelujah. Now, I love this about Joseph because the scripture tells us that while Joseph was pondering and trying to figure out how to put Mary away privately because he had found that she was with child and not wanting to embarrass her, make a public obstacle out of here, or put her in harm's danger, he was trying to figure out how to put her away. And because they were already bound in betrothal, he's trying to figure out how to put her away. But the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream And I believe it was three times in this scripture, Joseph is warned of God in a dream to do what God called him to do and what God directed him to do. How many know sometimes our dreams or our hopes seem as if they don't pan out? I mean, Joseph was in the midst of thinking that his dreams had been dashed and his hopes had been changed, only to find out that God was going to cause him to dream again. God was going to cause him to have more dreams, greater dreams, and God was going to begin to speak to him in a greater way than he had ever heard before. How many know sometimes our dreams get dashed? Our hopes don't seem like it's going to pan out. Favor doesn't always look like favor. But how many are thankful that God always speaks to us again and God always causes us to dare to dream again? Yeah. Hallelujah. One of the greatest pictures, I think, of the story of Joseph, and you know the story of Joseph who sold into slavery by his brother, and he sold into slavery because he dares to share his dream with his family, his brothers, his siblings. You know how siblings are. I got six of them. Thankful every day for my brothers and sisters. So I say that jokingly. But how many know sometimes your family don't always buy into your dreams and your visions? Sometimes they don't always understand you. Sometimes they don't always understand the promise of God. And I submit to you that Joseph didn't understand his dreams at the moment or at the time. But he's sold into slavery, and he ends up in the pit in the prison. And you know all of that, Potiphar's house and the pit and the prison. But there comes a day when Joseph sends for his brother Benjamin, he sends for his father, and he sends for his brethren, and they come back in, and they bow down before him. And he has the power right now as second to Pharaoh to wipe them all out, get vengeance, make up for everything they've ever done to him, and he was justified in doing it, and they deserved it. I mean, sometimes your pity party can keep you from really experiencing everything that God wants to do in your life. And where we want to stand and hold on to old hurts and things like that, sometimes there comes a day. But see, here's what happens to Joseph when he stands there and he looks and his father and his brethren are bowed down before him. All of a sudden, something goes off in his head and he said, "That was the dream that I dreamed, and you told me I was just a dreamer, and you told me it never come to pass. But right now, today, it's not even about my brothers being restored to me, but it's about the faithfulness of God to allow me to dream again and see the fulfillment of the dreams and the purpose of God in my life." And the scripture says, and Joseph turns aside and he weeps and he cries and he turns back and says, "Yea, God, you are faithful to our dreams. You are faithful to fulfill your promises in our life. It may seem like your dreams have gone a little crazy, but I'm going to say to you this morning, wise men, dream again. Wise men, dream again." And being warned of God in a dream, they went another way. Hallelujah. And when the angel began to cause Joseph to dream again, how many know he took him in a place called Egypt? But that place called Egypt led him back to a place called Galilee and Nazareth, where he would be called a Nazarene. The branch is among us. Emmanuel, God with us. How many know wise men dare to dream again? Hallelujah.
Finally, the palace, but in the beginning, favor didn't look like favor.
Amen. Hallelujah. But he never lost sight of his dreams. He never lost sight of his vision. I mean, sometimes it didn't look like the dream that I dreamed. I mean, I was sitting in the dungeon in the prison, waiting on the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker to, remember that you interpreted their dreams. Everybody going to help you out when you're helping them. And all of a sudden, they said, "We're going to speak to you, to the king." 2 years later, they finally remember, "Oh, by the way, there's a guy who's a dreamer in the prison. Not only is he a dreamer, he understands dreams. He interprets dreams. He hears from God." Hallelujah. And you might feel like you've been forsaken or forgotten. Hallelujah. But God is a God of dreams. Wise men do not heed the voice of kings, not of this kingdom, or listen to contrary voices. It's contrary to what God spoke to you. I mean, there's a whole lot of voices out there. And some are saying, just go ahead and tell us about him so we can come and worship him too. But wise men don't listen to the voice of kings. They listen to the voice of the king. Hallelujah. Wise men hear God in dreams. They dare to dream again. When Joseph thought his dreams were gone, he just needed to dream again. He needed to dream bigger. Wise men look for stars. What are stars? Somebody tell me what a star is. It's a reflection of the sun. Amen? Hallelujah. Wise men look for the stars that are a reflection of the sun, S-O-N. I mean, we can be a star for someone who leads the way to where the young child is. My challenge for you in this year to come is be a star. Anybody ever want to be a star when you were growing up? Hallelujah. Lexi did. There you go. Everybody wants to be a star. I mean, you have the opportunity to be a star. And by that, I mean you have the opportunity to be a reflection of the sun, S-O-N. And as you are a reflection of the sun, you lead the way to those who are searching for the Emmanuel God, God with us. Hallelujah. And so it's a challenge to us to be a star. Be a reflection of the sun in this day and lead the way. Be a star for someone else's journey. Reflect the sun, S-O-N. Lead the way to Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Wise men embrace the journey. How many are thankful for the journey that you're on? We used to sing a song, Sweeter Gets the Journey, every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get so happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Can anybody say in here this morning, the journey truly gets sweeter? Hallelujah. As we learn to know him more, to trust him more, and embrace him more. Hallelujah. Wise men worship him. Wise men follow the star. Wise men are a reflection of the star. Why did God create the stars? Because he knew in your darkest hour you would need a nightlight. Hallelujah. I mean, wise men were on a road trip. Anybody ever go on a road trip? Hallelujah. How many know the star was their GPS? They didn't have it on their phone. One star. Yeah, on star. Hallelujah. But how many know the scripture declares that the firmaments declare his handiwork? And even if, and I'm not into astrology or you know, zodiac signs and predicting my future, because I think the scripture is where we hear from God. But I believe that the heavens are mapped out. And how many know the scripture tells us of them? And if you look at all the signs of the zodiac, and we don't have time to go into them all this morning, they all point to Jesus. And they all point to the Messiah, the Virgin, the Pisces who has the fish, which is a symbol of, you know, salvation, and all the different ones. And Lynn can probably share these even more. Pastor Roger Legg shared some of these last year even when they were here. How many know all of those point to him who is born king of the Jews? Hallelujah. Wise men bring gifts. Wise men follow stars. Wise men worship him. Hallelujah. I want to be wise in this coming year. Amen. I want to be wise in this coming year. I want to follow the sun, S-O-N. I want to be a star. Hallelujah. I want to be able to lead the way to this Emmanuel God. A touchable, tangible God. We sang the song, Shekinah Glory Come. Hallelujah. We wait for you. How many know we don't necessarily wait for his presence to come because we know that we bring it with us when we come. We wait for a manifestation of his presence when we come together. When I sing that song, Lord, I'm just waiting on you to manifest yourself in whatever way you want to manifest him, because I'm not waiting on him to come and get here. I mean, the Shekinah glory is inside of you. The glory of God is inside of you. His presence are inside of you. What we're talking about in that song is we just want to see that glory revealed as we open up ourselves and we present our treasures in our worship. We open up our treasure bags. And we begin to present to him our gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we begin to lavish on him, hallelujah, the treasures in this earthen vessel, hallelujah, for his glory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. As the children are coming in. And let's just, hallelujah. Let's just be wise this morning. And let's just say, so when they come into the room, they fell down and they worshiped him. And then they presented to him their gifts. They may have presented to them themselves. How many know the greatest gift, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, one of the greatest gifts you can give to him today is your heart and your life. If you've never experienced salvation, if you've never truly given your heart to Jesus, today's your day to be a wise man and just open your treasure bags. Hallelujah. And let him have your heart. Let him have your life. Let him have your dreams and your hopes. Hallelujah. And see what he does with those things that we present to him. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you need salvation this morning, whatever it is you need for him, just take a moment and just worship him this morning as she sings. Hallelujah. Lord, we just present ourselves to you in this coming year. Lord, our time, our talent, our treasure, our finances. Lord, that we'll be so connected to you, Lord, the vision of this house. Lord, that it won't be a struggle to give. Lord, it won't be a struggle to work. It won't be a struggle to support. It won't be a struggle to worship. But Father, it'll just flow out of a place, Father. Lord, that we understand wisdom. Hallelujah. Lord, that we are a reflection of the Son. Lord, we follow your goodness in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The altar's open this morning if you feel a need to come. Your mercy.